Hare Krishna. I kind of lost my voice, but I'll try. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, and we are doing text number 162, 163, and 164. Okay, so we have on the board 162, so we'll all read that together. Prema phala paki pare mali ashwadaya. Lata avalambi mali kalpa vriksha papaya. Avalambi mali kalpa vriksha papaya. Okay, word for word. Prema pala. The fruit of love of God. Paki. Becoming mature. Pare. Falls down. Mali, the gardener, Ashwadaya, tastes, Lata Avalambi, taking advantage of the growing Bhakti Lata. Mali, the gardener, Kalpa Vrikshapaya, reaches the desired tree in Goloka Vrindavan. Translation. When the fruit of devotional service becomes ripe and falls down, the gardener tastes the fruit and thus takes advantage of the creeper and reaches the desired tree of the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Text 163. Tahase kalpa vrikshera karaye sevan suke prema palarasa kare ashwadan. There, the devotee serves the lotus feet of the Lord, which are compared to a wish-fulfilling tree. With great bliss, he tastes the juice of the fruit of love and becomes eternally happy. Small purport. The word taha indicates that in the spiritual world, one can taste the juice of the fruit of devotional service and thus become blissful. Text 164. Eta parama pala param purushartha yara age trinatulya chari purushartha. Translation. To taste the fruit of devotional service at Goloka Vrindavan is the highest perfection of life. And in the presence of such perfection, the four material perfections, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, are very insignificant achievements. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The highest achievement attained by the jnanis or impersonalists is becoming one with the Supreme, generally known as moksha or liberation. The highest achievements of the yogis are the eight material perfections such as anima, laghima, and prapti. Yet these are nothing compared to the eternal bliss of the devotee who returns back to Godhead and tastes the fruit of devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. The material perfections up to the point of liberation are very insignificant in comparison. Therefore, the pure devotee is never interested in such things. His only interest is in perfecting his devotional service to the Lord. The pleasure of the impersonalist monist philosophers is condemned in the following verse, which is also found in Srila Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaiti Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I have a lot of Srila Prabhupada's followers, senior followers here. I'd just like to beg your mercy so I can say something which would be beneficial for everyone. So the verse again, text 164. To taste the fruit of devotional service at Goloka Vrindavan is the highest perfection of life. And in the presence of such perfection, the four material perfections, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, are very insignificant achievements. So this chapter actually is called The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. We know in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord has spoken to many, many, many different personalities. When he was young, he defeated Keshava Kashmiri, who was the Digvijay, who was the scholar, who was traveling all over India and defeating everyone. And he was defeated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time Nimai Pandit, just a small boy. And then later on he also defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then he convinced Prakashananda Saraswati and all his thousands of followers to Vaishnavism. And in so many ways he was speaking to different personalities. Then later on he spoke with Ramananda Rai and asking so many different questions. Now he's talking to Srila Rupa Goswami and instructing him, and then also he would be instructing Sanatan Goswami coming up later on. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the avatar of the age. And he is giving us all this information. In fact, the whole Krishna consciousness movement is based on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, giving us the Maha Mantra and showing us how to worship Krishna as a devotee. So Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, he is describing how all the different rules and regulations of worshipping the Lord are there. And the without devotional service, all these things like religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, they will all be considered very attractive. But the devotional, it is said here that to taste the fruit of devotional service at Goloka Vrindavan is the highest perfection of life. Now someone may read this and may think, wow, I don't even know if I'm ever going to make it there. I have to chant and I have to taste the fruit at Goloka Vrindavan. So, in fact, when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet and he would speak like this, in fact, in one particular one incident, one class he gave, and after he spoke like that, saying that in order to go back home, back to Godhead, you have to be very pure. And even if there is one little dot on that white cloth, then you wouldn't be able to go back to the spiritual world. So everyone was very despondent and disappointed, and they were thinking, well, I'm never going to be able to make it. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada, recognizing that the devotees were like that, he said, okay, well, 90%. If you're 90% there, then you will go back. And of course, 90% was still a high number for the devotees. So then he said, 80%. And as he was coming down the steps, as his class was finished, he's going down the steps, he said, 70% and no less. So then devotees were feeling a little better that they have a chance. But as we can see, we all have some kind of experience in Krishna consciousness, you know, going out and distributing the holy name, speaking to people, you know, even giving people tours here. And year after year after year, devotees have been doing that. So it's not by chance that someone could actually do that year after year. We have seen many people come and go. The more you get a taste, the more you want to engage in the service of the Lord. And I looked up on the folio, on the Veda base, highest perfection of life. It came up 376 times. And in there, Srila Prabhupada is talking about all the things related to devotional service that actually gives us this highest stage of life. So we perfect our life by engaging in devotional service. One place he says, by following the Krishna consciousness process, one gets to the highest perfection of life. By taking up the devotional service, by giving up all the activities of material life, one engages in the service of the Lord and his life becomes perfect. And ultimately, it's the activities that one performs for the pleasure of Krishna. Sam Siddhi. We're talking about the highest perfection of life. Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam. All the siddhis, all the perfection you can find is present when one pleases Krishna. Haritoshanam, to please the Lord. Atapumbhir dvija shreshta varnashram vibhagashaha swanustitasya dharmasya sam siddhir haritoshanam. If you want to learn that verse, if you don't know it, it's Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text Number 13. So, when one pleases the Lord, then he gets everything. Because Krishna, he vetoes all power, he controls everything. He is the highest of all. So when we please him, we also get some of that benefit, some of that byproduct, as Srila Prabhupada said, of pleasing the Lord. All these things come to us. In one point, one place, Srila Prabhupada said that Bhishma's life, Bhishma Dev, grandfather Bhishma, that just by the fact that he saw the Lord at the time of his passing, he was lying on a bed of arrows, waiting for death, when the right time would meet, auspicious time. And there, at that final moment, Krishna appeared there. And Srila Prabhupada said that this was the highest perfection of Bhishma's life, was to see the Lord at the time of his death. Ante Narayana Smriti, to remember the Lord at the time of death. So in many places he gave different things, but all the different descriptions Srila Prabhupada gave of highest perfection of life had to do with devotional service and engaging in the Lord's activities, engaging the activities that we are already doing. And right now we are all feeling some of that bliss, some of that perfection. Otherwise we would not be able to do what we are doing. Year after year after year. Look at this, you know, Radha Desh community. How many devotees are engaging for so many years, doing different activities for the pleasure of the Lord. You know, they've built such a nice community, so many buildings are up, so many activities are going on. people are, visitors are coming and we're showing them around. All these are wonderful activities which are in devotional service. I mean, someone may think, oh, just going around and, you know, teaching people or showing people what you're doing, how could that be the highest thing? But Srila Prabhupada, his view of devotional service was everything that has to do with engaging in devotional service ourselves, chanting and following everything, and also to give it to others, a two-prong process, as he would call it. That we chant Hare Krishna for our own perfection, and then, because we are not bhajananandis, we don't just do it for ourselves, like the yogis who go to the Himalayas or go in their secluded place and they just chant or meditate for themselves. Our process is one that helps others. The whole idea of the Krishna consciousness movement is to prepare a place where everyone can come and take association, do service for Krishna, and go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. That's the beauty of it. There's a very nice verse I learned recently. It's from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th chapter. I remember when they were churning the ocean, the demigods and the demons were churning the ocean. From the ocean came poison. And they were wondering, what's going to happen with all this poison? So then they begged Lord Shiva to drink the poison. So Lord Shiva, he drank the poison. And in a verse after that, Shukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayashojana param aradhanam tadhi purushasya khilatmana. Tapyante, Srila Prabhupada describes tapyante as voluntary suffering. Lokatapena, tapyante lokatapena, for the rest of the world, lokatapena. Sadhava prayashojana, the sadhus, they almost all the time, what they do is they take on voluntary suffering for the pleasure of others, for the benefit of others. And then, what is this? Param aradhanam. Param means the highest, and aradhanam means to worship. Param aradhanam tadhi purushasya khilatmana. That the highest form of worship one can do is to take on some voluntary suffering on behalf of others. So what does that mean? Does it mean that you have to suffer, you have to take on their illness or hardships? So Srila Prabhupada has given us the perfect system. To come to the morning program, chant your rounds, engage in devotional service, show the example for others, and then in addition to all of that, do what we are doing now. Making this place a tourist attraction so that people can come and they can see and they can learn about Krishna. And by that, they can also, all these people who are coming, mind you, they are beginning their spiritual life by just coming here and hearing about Krishna. It's not that they just come as a tourist and they go away and it's just a simplistic thing like that, like someone goes to the Taj Mahal or someone goes to the Disney World. And they just, you know, it's just material life going to enjoy. But when they come here, it's a different, it's a completely different thing altogether. They're getting a chance to come into contact with devotional service. The fire is burning here. We may not necessarily see it. But the fire of devotional service is burning. And anyone who comes into contact with that fire, they also get scorched. They get scorched in a good way. So all these people who are coming, they're all getting a chance to engage in devotional service. What does devotional service bring? Srila Rupa Goswami also described. There are six things that come with devotional service when one starts devotional service. The first thing that happens is all the distresses, all the problems that we have, all the hardships are relieved. As soon as one begins devotional service, chants Hare Krishna, associate with the devotees, immediately all the material distress are destroyed. Is it true? Then the second thing is it brings all auspiciousness. Devotional service is very, very auspicious. It brings all the auspiciousness to us. And then it is very rare. It's not gotten easily. It's very, very difficult to get. But by the mercy of all of us, we can make it easy for people outside. Srila Prabhupada wanted that we all become instruments in giving this message all over the world, every town and village, to make it easy. So by our going out there, the devotees went out on Sankirtan yesterday, 108 books were given out. But even those who didn't get books, those who have even seen them, just see them in their Vaikuntha dress, they all get some benefit. But just going out there in dhoti, sari, and tilak, just people seeing us out there is so wonderful. They all get some benefit. Then, four, devotional service derides liberation. Liberation, Srila Prabhupada said, liberation is standing at the door with folded hands to serve a devotee. Then, it gives transcendental pleasure. And the last one is it's the only means to attract Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada said, devotional service is so powerful, it's actually greater than Krishna himself. Because it attracts Krishna, it's considered greater than Krishna. Therefore, Krishna doesn't give it easily. Because by devotional service, one can control Krishna. So all the reactions, the chain reactions that are taking place in this world of action and reaction, we have so many lifetimes of sinful activities that we have performed. Now in this lifetime we have a chance to engage in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada said two things happen with action, with sinful action. There is reaction, and some of those fruits are what we are facing now, things that present themselves before us, the matured fruits. But then there's also some fruits that are not yet matured. So we are not experiencing those as yet. So the ones we are feeling now, all the atrocities, all the different problems that are there that confront us, and problems with family or problems with the body. Srila Prabhupada said it comes in different ways. Bad reactions come in different ways. One may find that, well, he has some court cases, or he's put in court, or his body is ugly, or he's uneducated, or and all these different ways that bad reactions come. Or he's always in distress, or this family problem, or that. So, and then there is a chain. So while he is suffering these reactions, there are other reactions waiting to be matured. Like you plant the seed. In fact, it's described, four things are there. You plant the seed, it's not yet germinated, and some are germinating, some are blossoming, and some are giving the fruit. So the ones that are giving the fruit, that's the ones we are reaping now. So all of these are waiting. So devotional service is so powerful that all of these, beginning from the seed stage to the fruit stage, all are destroyed by devotional service. So we can imagine the power of devotional service. Even the ones we don't see that are coming, devotional service destroys everything. Now, 2012 is in the air. Everyone is wondering what's going to happen in 2012 with big news everywhere of how the world will be destroyed and so many atrocities would take place. So what is that for us, for Vaishnavas, for devotees of Krishna, followers of Srila Prabhupada? How do we see that? Recently, a couple of few months ago, there was an article on Dandavats, and the devotee was describing different things about that and speaking how the Bhagavatam is what we follow. People are saying, oh, the world will come to an end in 2012. But what did the Bhagavatam says? There are four ages, and each age has so many years, and the Kali Yuga is going to last 432,000 years, and 5,000 years are gone. There's still 427,000 years to go. And so much other information is there. So the world is coming to an end in 2012 is not true according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's different ways to get knowledge. There are different ways to get knowledge. The best way to get knowledge is from the scriptures, Shabda Brahma. Because when knowledge comes from the Lord Himself, then that knowledge is perfect. And the scientists and everyone, even the scientists, they have accepted also that they are doing their different experiments. And a lot of times their experiments, after some time, they are beginning to understand. They're coming to the conclusion that the Bhagavatam has already given. Jai Shri Shri Radha. Just like at one time they say the world was flat. And then they change and say the world is actually round. Brahmanda. In the Bhagavatam you hear Brahmanda, like an egg. So many things like that they are coming up with, and little by little they are coming up with so many other things that tie into the Vedic knowledge. So, in this way, devotional service is the answer to all the questions, all the problems of life. People want to know what is the remedy for the problems of life. Srila Prabhupada in Chicago, when he spoke with Lieutenant Mosey, and he wanted to know, the sheriff, he wanted to know, well, what can your society do to reduce the problems of crime? And Srila Prabhupada describes that, just find us a place, let's do Harinam, and let's distribute prasadam, and we'll fix the problems of crime. The peace formula. Because, he was saying, because your police force, your sheriffs, they are putting people in jail, and as soon as they come out of jail, they're going back to the same activities that they're doing before. So what is the difference? So what is it that we can do? So our movement, what it can do is, we can purify the people's hearts. When the hearts are purified, then they don't want to do lower activities anymore. So that is the difference. You're bringing them to jail and you're punishing them, but you're not purifying their hearts. And that's where the rubber meets the road, as they say. When the hearts are purified, then one comes to a higher platform of consciousness. Then all the lower activities he gives up. He is not interested in those lower activities anymore. So devotional service, as we are all engaging in is wonderful. And though all those who engage in devotional service, they become very happy, very jolly. We should be very happy. Right, and guests come, we should smile. We should at least show our what we have been practicing. If someone is not happy in Krishna consciousness, then he has to look and see at what point of the formula there is some mistake. Because the formula is true. If you engage in devotional service and follows, like Srila Prabhupada gave the morning program and so many things, like a sandwich, then you have to, the result you will get, for sure. Those who follow, they are always happy. You see, some devotees are very happy and jolly. You heard of the Jolly Swami? Who was the Jolly Swami? Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami was always very jolly and very happy. Even at the time of his passing, he was jolly. So we should always be very happy. And whatever we have and present, and whatever state of consciousness we have, we also affect others by our consciousness. So if we are happy in Krishna consciousness, people will feel that. One time when I was in Puerto Rico, distributing books at the airport, there was a devotee who was distributing ahead of me. It was kind of quiet, and then this man and his wife with a kid, I think, passed by. And he stopped the man, and the wife was saying, come on, honey, let's go. We don't have time. And the devotee was talking to him, and the devotee finally gave him a big Bhagavad Gita. and he put his hand in his pocket, took some money out, and gave it to him. So the wife was looking on, and I was also looking on to see what the reaction was. It was interesting to watch. So he, as he was coming down, the wife said, why you have to take this book and give him any money? So he said, honey, I don't know what it is, but the guy spoke so sweetly, I can't help. The guy spoke so sweetly, I cannot help. But what is it? It is the devotee's consciousness has changed the man's consciousness. Because, you know, you're doing your sadhana, you're chanting, you're reading, your consciousness is clean and pure, and they can sense it. They get purified by that also. They think it is something, why the guy was just nice, but it wasn't just that he was nice. His consciousness was clear, his consciousness was purified. We can change people like that. So all these different things that we are doing. One time when I first joined the movement in Guyana, South America, I went, my first time on Harinam was at the marketplace. It was like many, many, many stalls they set up. And the devotees, they do Harinam. And then after Harinam, then they go, two of them, they have big bags, burlap bags. And then people just throw their, put fruits and vegetables and plantains and so many things in there. And then two more of the devotees, they come around with smaller bags and people put cash. So I was kind of new, so I was towards the back and just watching, you know, the scenes just to see what the devotees would do. So as they were going around with the money bag, there are different sections, and there's one section where there are beggars. So they're also going into the line of the beggars. So I'm watching, and there is a lady across from me. She is also watching the scene. So the devotees went in front of the beggars, and all the beggars are putting coins, few coins that they have collected for the day, they're also putting it in the bag. So the lady is watching and looking. They're also collecting from the beggars. And they're also collecting from the beggars. And for a minute I was thinking, that's true, why are they collecting from the beggars? Later on the devotees explained to me that these beggars, they will also get some benefit that they don't know. The lady who was looking on is thinking, you're taking money from poor people who have nothing to eat. This is all they have to eat and you're taking money from them. But as the devotees were explaining to me, when we engage this money that these people have given in the service of Krishna, then they get so much spiritual benefit. They don't know that. They may give up one meal, but they will get Krishna in the end. This is what they get. They get devotional service, which can destroy all their sinful activities. And when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, not only him and his generation, but 21 generations get the benefit. So it's very, very powerful devotional service. Let me pause here and see if there's any questions or comments. Anybody has any burning questions? There's a hand over here. Yeah. Yes. Whatever we give to Krishna, we get back so much more in abundance and multiplied so many times. The question. But her question was that I started off speaking of something very high, highest perfection, and then later on I spoke about people taking on the suffering of others. So yeah, this is the highest perfection, to take on the voluntary suffering of others. Because to do that in devotional service, to take on the suffering of others in devotional service, that is described as the highest type of worship, param aradhanam. The highest form of worship is to take on the suffering of others. Because just like Srila Prabhupada, he didn't have to come to America, he didn't have to go to that cold place, he calls it hell. He didn't have to go to that hell to bring this message to us. So at an age of 69, old man, he said, I'm old man and has gone through so much suffering. And what was his aim? What was his objective? Was it to make money? Was it to get a big car? Was it to get some material facility? No, he wasn't interested. His main aim was to give the mercy to others. He was happy and jolly, and he wanted to give that to others, spread it to others. So that was his whole aim. But look how much, if you read the Lilamrita, the biography of Srila Prabhupada, there you will have a lot of details of what he did, things he experienced voluntarily. In the beginning, he had his food in the same fridge as Karmis. They had their meat and everything, and he would put his food in that same fridge, something he never did before. Then later on, walking through the snow and the ice, freezing temperatures in New York, and then living with hippies in the same building. I don't know if you know hippies and their style of living and all that. Not bathing for weeks. And he had to live with them. He would do everything. He would go to the market and buy the vegetables. He'll come back and cut it up, and then he would cook, and then he would offer it to Krishna, and then he would feed them. Then he, after they are fed and he's given some little talk to them, they would leave and he would be left back. He would wash up everything, clean everything. And then he would line up to go to the bathroom also. One bathroom. He would line up. All the hippies would be in line and he would also stand in line to go to the bathroom. So this type of voluntary suffering he was taking on, because all he was seeing was a mission which will help the world. As the highest thing one can do is to take on this type of suffering for the pleasure of the world. And Krishna, he wants to see what we are, what we are willing to do, what our effort would be. There is a saying, actually, I saw in one building. It says, it's a Mother Teresa quote. It says, she said, God doesn't want to see that you succeed necessarily, but he wants to see your endeavor. And it ties in with our philosophy also, is that Krishna is called Bhava Grahi Janardana. He wants to see our intention. What is our intention? Yesterday, Rasamandala Prabhu mentioned that I forgot. So Bhava Grahi Janardana, that the Lord wants to see our intention. And it slipped my mind. It'll come back to me. There are a couple of things actually that I got from that class yesterday. It was very, very good, among so many others, two especially. But yeah, it is the highest thing to accept some suffering on behalf of others. Nobody wants to be servant of others in this world. Everyone wants to be master. So when you can take that position of serving others, that's a very high thing, especially in devotional service, to give them Krishna. Anything else? Is that all right? Japa is one activity you perform in devotional service by chanting the holy names of the Lord. This is for our own purification. There's a two things we do. One is for our own purification, and then we do outside activities for other people's purification to help them. Because otherwise we could sit here and we could chant and hear and enjoy our spiritual life, take prasadam and then chant the holy names of the Lord and hear Bhagavatam and so forth. But then what happened to the people outside? So one who is benevolent, one who sees others and wants to give the message to others, gives the happiness to others, he can't sit idly like that. He can't just sit in one place. Srila Prabhupada, he could have been sitting in his room there in Vrindavan and enjoy. But when one is a devotee of the Lord, when he got the taste of devotional service, he can't rest. He has to give it to others. He's jumping just to go. He's very enthusiastic to go give it to others. He wants to give it to others. And it's not like he loses anything by giving. If you have €100, you give this one 50 and that one 25 and that one 25, it's gone. But with devotional service, the more you give it, the more you get it. The happier you become. Devotional service is such, it's a mystical thing. You can't really explain it. But when you go out there, or you just dance in kirtan, and you will feel it. It is such a nice thing. Anything else? Yes, Mataji. Yeah. Well, I've heard many different stories where Srila Prabhupada says like that. And knowing him, from what I've heard of all the activities he's performed, like one time, someone asked Srila Prabhupada that, you said you're always chanting Hare Krishna. How is that? Because you're preaching, you're writing books, you're dictating, you're doing this, you're doing that. How is it that you're always chanting Hare Krishna? You know, he was thinking, but you know, beads or, you know, your mouth should be moving. Or so Prabhupada said, just put your ear on my back. Have you heard this before? I think it's on the following Srila Prabhupada video by Yadubar Prabhu. There is 11 videos. And he said, put your ear on my back. And the devotee, when he put his ear on his back, when he asked him, what did you notice? And what he said was, the vibration of the Maha Mantra was going on. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It was going on. Even though he was talking, he was saying so many things. So, but Prabhupada didn't present this part of him to the world. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he was God himself, but he didn't want people to recognize him as God. He wanted to stay as a devotee of the Lord. And we also have to take that mood from Srila Prabhupada and his followers, those who were there with him in the beginning. Because if we lose the mood, we would lose the benefit of being with Srila Prabhupada and getting his mercy. We want to give the fruit as we got it intact. Anything else? Well, we have a few more minutes. I'll tell you a little bit of our, in Alachua, we have Harinam every Friday and sometimes also on Saturdays, especially now coming up to Christmas time, we do a lot. And some Saturdays, like especially during the winter months, there is football game. Football is a big, you know, is a big extravaganza there in America around this time. And we do football game Harinam. So we go there in front of one of the gates. There's 7 gates around the stadium. And we go to one of the gates, gate 7, and we do Harinam there. And because we have been doing it for so many years, people really like us. And we also have the Krishna Lunch program at the university, which is more than, they've been doing it for more than 30 years in UF. So we have a very good reputation in Gainesville, Alachua area. People really like us very much. And so when we do Harinam there, previously they used to have a band, like maybe 100 musicians, the university band, and they would pass by. So, you know, all of them have different instruments, the flutes and the viola, and they have the stringed instruments, and some have the drums. And so, right in front of us, it's like there is an imaginary line. As soon as the first musician touches that line, he starts to jump. He starts to dance with the music. And of course, we build the tempo when they are coming around, because we know that they're going to start dancing. And all of them along the way, even the guys with the big drums, they're all jumping like this and dancing, and they go, you know, 20 feet and they stop and they continue their parade. So it's just a wonderful thing to watch. I mean, it's really, really nice. And, you know, so many people there take advantage and they dance with us. I don't like the early morning one. Sometimes the games are in like 12 noon. So we are there 2 hours ahead. But in the morning, everyone is sober and everyone is nice and, you know, they don't really dance so much. In the evening time, after they've been drinking all day long and they have the spirit, that's when they participate much more. The inhibitions are not there. They're not thinking about their friends or family members. They just hear the music and they just dance. And it's just really, really nice to see them. And some of them are like devotees already. They dance like devotees. This last couple of weeks, there was a young man, and he was dancing with a devotee. And all the steps that we make, he was making. I said, wow, he's getting prepared already. Then there was one young boy, maybe 7 or 8 years old. We always see so many different people, how they take part. The young boy, his father was holding his hand, and he broke away from his father, and he started dancing. And his father said, come, no, I don't want to go, I want to dance. So there's so many, and then you can imagine the amount of mercy that they will all get by doing that, and they take prasadam, and they get a little leaflet about Krishna, and they come to the temple, and so forth. So all this devotional service, this highest achievement that one can get, is what we are all lucky and very fortunate to have. The jnanis or the impersonalists, they want to become one with the Supreme, and they want to have moksha, liberation. But for the devotees, these things don't matter. They're not important. Anima for the yogis, they want to become, they want to have all this power and so many things. All these, if you go to the heavenly planets, you get all these, Srila Prabhupada described, all these different things, all these different perfections you can get right here in the material world. And the heavenly planets, you can fly from one planet to another, you can become heavier than the heaviest thing, smaller than the smallest, you can take something from somewhere else. If you want, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of how one of his teachers, the guru of one of his teachers, he was such a yogi that anything you wanted, you can get. And someone said, well, I want a pomegranate from Afghanistan. And immediately he brought it, you know, leaking the juice and everything, fresh. That kind of thing. So, somebody who is looking for miracles, someone who wants to see miracles, they become attracted to that type of thing. I have two brothers who are followers of Sai Baba. And they like that miracle and that kind of thing. You know, they can't just understand devotional service, how much more powerful it is. And then Srila Prabhupada mentioned also in the purport of the four perfections, in fact in the verse, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation are very insignificant achievements. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. The whole world, a lot of the community, Hindu community, they are very much after these dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. These may be, they may be helpful, but in comparison to devotional service, they are insignificant. They have no place. Okay, anything else? Guess you're going to get an early breakfast today. Jai, I was very happy to be here, and I'm very glad that my first time being here at Radha Desh. I've heard so many nice things, I've seen pictures, and I always wanted to come, but never got a chance. But by the mercy of my son, we are here. Actually, it's very wonderful also in Alachua. So many activities going on, so many devotees are planning different things. So, like Rasamandala mentioned yesterday, that we should want to do something for Krishna, not that others should tell us what we should do for Krishna. I think that's very significant in the sense that our love should be shown to Krishna. Well, I would like to do this for you, my dear Lord. And when you have that feeling of doing something like that, then that's wonderful. It shows that you're actually maturing up. That, you know, I would like to do something. I just don't want... You know, if you're always told what to do, you don't really mature up so much. Do this and do that and do the other and so forth. And people in general, they don't like to be told either. But it's very nice if you can see, well, you know, I would like to do this for Krishna. Of course, everything has to tie in with Guru. Guru would want us to do certain things, and it may not be the best thing, so we do the needful at that time. And if we have a strong desire to do something for Krishna, if the desire is strong, we would be able to do it. We'd be able to do all the other things that are required, as well as doing what we would like for Krishna. That was one of the things I learned yesterday. It was very, very nice. It really affected me. Okay. Jai. Anything, Maharaj? Give us some wisdom. Alright, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Bhakti Bhavati Naishti ki.